Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Fred Film Radio at the Berlinale. I'm Angelo Cerbi at the Panorama section with Marcio Riolon and Felipe Matzenbacher, the directors and writers of Tinta Bruta, Hard Pain. Good afternoon, both.
Good afternoon.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, your film is about a boy that earns his life through video cam, showing off, painting himself of neon colors, calling the neon boy. He lives with his sister, then his sister has to move, and he realizes that there is another guy doing the same thing, so they try to get together. This is the plot. How did you get to this story, and why?
We wanted to explore the virtual world, so we wanted to explore how people communicate virtually and this creation of online personas that nowadays with social networks we do all the time, even though we'd not realize. Every time we go to a social network, we kind of like filter what we're going to post there, how we're going to present ourselves. So pretty much each person creates their own online personas that usually they tend to be an idealized version of themselves. So we thought about this character, that he is really shy, he has no friends, very lonely guy, but once he goes online on the webcam, he colors his body and he becomes a very lively and seductive young man under the name of Neon Boy, which is actually who he would like to be, you know, in his material life.
You said the action in Porto Alegre, and there is this line that one of the characters says, say, this city is a purgatory. Everybody's here just to go somewhere else. Yeah. Is it exactly like this?
That's, I think, actually, Porto Alegre is the city that we were born, and we were raised, and we work. So it's a city that we love and hate at the same time. Mm-hmm. In the past few years, the city was becoming more conservative in some points, and the public issues start to, there's something like a discuss, I don't know how to say that.
Yeah, I think like the past administrations, they didn't really take good care of the city, so especially for young people, like they don't find very interesting to stay there. So they, as soon as they pass adolescence, like most of our friends did, they just move away to larger cities in the country, such as São Paulo or Rio, or even abroad. So for those who stay there, like ourselves, it kind of seems like we're staying in a no man's land, you know, like with not many people that we identify with around and not many things to do. So we have this purgatory feeling sometimes, mm-hmm. even though we still stay there and we fight for a better place. But
yeah, and it's your hometown, so yes, why not?
Exactly. Yeah, it's kind of contradictory in that way, right?
In some aspects, also, the purgatory can be connected with this idea of the look-ins to the character, these people watching him during when he walks on the streets, and even with the social media idea.
Yeah, I think it's like people are always there judging, watching him and judging all the time, you know, so I think it kind of connects to that as well.
There is this moment in the film where something clicks in the character's mind, where he decided not to be by himself anymore, but trying to relate with this other guy that does the same thing he does. And they have a relationship. He falls in love with the guy, but still it seems that he doesn't know how to manage this. It's something that for him is so unreal and so far from himself. Do you think that this can be an issue for a younger generation of gay guys because of the social media thing, because of the filter that technology is putting between themselves and the other people, or is just something related to that specific character for his own specific persona?
I think it's hard to say for now. I think maybe we'll feel the impact of these like in a few years. In our case, we built it because we really like the idea of having this character with very low social skills. So he has a real hard time to communicate to people, and that's something hard for him. So he doesn't really know how to manage being in a relationship that's something new to him. So
he doesn't have many friends, so it's very difficult to him. And at the same time, yes, in the social media, he can like act like a lovely person, beloved by his partner. So it's very interesting to us, this idea of this contradiction. Mm. But let's see what the audience will say about it.
You decided through the film to have him reach to one of his clients. He has a regular client showing on the screen, and he wants to get in touch with him, but this guy doesn't want it, so he has another rejection. Why did you choose to do that specific part?
I think for us it was like part of the... We thought of Pedro almost as a guy with a syndrome of abandonment. So people were kind of like leaving him all the time. And I think in this moment when he tries to meet a guy from the virtual world and the guy is not interested, it's almost like this clash between the online persona and the material persona. Because he says to Pedro, you look stronger on the webcam. You know, it's almost like the persona that you created and you put up, I find it more interesting. You, I don't really, I'm not very interested in. So I think it's part of this discussion that we do in the film between these two different personas.
Yeah, and at the same time, the virtual world can be very good, like can manage new relations and you connect about so many different groups, and that's a good thing. But at the same part, but another part can be sometimes more tough, and for example, people can be very mean, and sometimes I understand that Merit Voyer, the character that he wants to meet, he just like he likes of seeing Pedro a little bit down and blue, I think.
Yeah, he likes to be in power, in charge of the situation.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, the way you shoot the bodies, it's really interesting, because with that theme, with that issue, it could have been much darker, much more like close to porn, but it's not at all. It's very sexy and very romantic too, even if it was like a showing off of flesh to an unknown person. Did you discuss this before shooting, and why did you get to this specific conclusion?
Yeah, I think we went like as far as we thought would be important for the film. We knew one thing, that we didn't want to shoot them in what we would feel as to be a coward way of shooting for a film that portrays... it's not porn industry because it's not an industry, but the characters, they do porn. Yeah, and it's a very sexual story and everything, so that's very present in the film. That's much there. But I think at the same time, there's other things that we like to tell with their bodies, you know, other narrative uses. So I think the point that we reached is what would be interesting for us, you know.
And it's a story that we like, the idea of showing different scenes about sex, about bodies. For example, the first big sex scene is more about looking one to each other and touching, and the last sex scene is very like dry and
like mechanical.
Yeah, and the shows also, we like the idea, they show into the camera, but we try to create this almost like a show, a performance, almost a visual art.
But the neon thing is something that you made up, or did you find it on the website somewhere?
No, for us, like, the neon came up with this in this story because we wanted the character to have something that he would stand out for, you know, like... when we thought, like, okay, he's going to be a performer, he has to have a trademark, you know, well, what will he do? And since he's kind of like a very shy reclusive, we thought he would have something that would empower him on webcam. And we also like to think of the neon as part of queer, you know, because there is this performatic thing in the neon paint, and it is also something that stands you out of a gray normative crowd, you know, like once you wear it, like people would just see it. So, and that's much what we wanted to show with this.
Which is the Felipe Marcio method of writing and directing? I don't think you split things too. I don't know. I mean, which is it?
No, we definitely don't split things. We do everything together in a very collaborative way, you know. So we discuss a lot, and we work and rework, you know, with the writing. It's a lot like this. We write many times the script, and we're always discussing, and with directing, like, we like to have this long process, you know. For us, it's almost like a homemade process, yes, the way we do our features. So we rehearsed with the two main actors, for example, for 7 months prior to shooting. Wow. So, because we all also like to have process closer to theater, you know, because we have this background where we were both actors before becoming directors. We enjoy this part of discovering and doing things in a collective way.
And when you direct,
I believe that something very important to us as a duo is to think how we can create this the same scenario in our heads for each scene and for the movie that we're made in.
Yeah, it's important for us to have very clear for both of us what kind of film do you want to make. Because then we can even like improvise once we are on set, you know, like because when we have clear this idea of what we want to do, then we're on the we feel that we're on the same page. Then we feel free to explore things and to create and to experience new things.
You are independent filmmakers, but you're not like the new ones. You are kind of established because it's not your first film. You worked a lot since the first film to up to today. Did you position in terms of power in finding money and in being more able to do the project you want to do change? How is the situation in Brazil concerned to that?
Well, we always hope that each film like will open doors, let's say, and can be easier to get money for the next one. But of course, it always depends from project to project and like how we're going to finance them. And with this film, we were very lucky that before developing the film, we won the Herbert Bowles Fund from the Rotterdam Film Festival to develop the story, and that already gave us a nice input for a start. And then we won a Brazilian national fund from the government that financed the whole production of it. So it was a bit easier in a way. We have our third film already like 60% of it financed, so I think we're on a good way at the moment, because I think the country also has been for over a decade investing a lot in film, and it's showing really good results, and we can see that in the Berlinale. We have several Brazilian films
in any kind of festival. No,
exactly, yeah, and I think all this is part of the result of the governmental investments, you know.
Through a decade, the government try to diversificate the investment, so you'll have like new filmmakers, new ideas, new aesthetics putting on the map. I have this problem because like now Brazil is having like a very bad time politically, and this whole plan of how to finance movies can be changed, because after the coup was. We don't know how it's going to work.
Well, let's hope it doesn't change that much and that bad. Thank you very much to Philippe Matzenbacher and Marcio Rolland for having been with us for the film Tinta Bruta at the Panorama at the Berlinale in 2018. I'm Angelo Cerbi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.